Greetings and welcome to Let's Talk About Books, baby, where we talk with your favorite LGBTQ plus authors. I'm Anita Kelly and my guest today is Elizabeth Andre. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
We're doing great. It's a little, Elizabeth Andre is two people. Surprise.
All right. So listeners, yes, I did say our guest today is Elizabeth Andre and I am talking to two people. And no, it's not Elizabeth and it's not Andre. We have a writing duo team that makes up the pen name Elizabeth Andre. Mm-hmm. Is that a correct way to?
That is correct.
Absolutely correct.
Come so out.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the worst kept secret out there that Elizabeth Andre is really an interracial married lesbian couple.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Victoria. It's my wife, Karen.
Hi. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Awesome. It's so nice to meet you. Elizabeth Andre is made up of the writing team of Victoria and Karen, who are a couple. So that is awesome. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But before we get into that, tell me about, do you have a recent publication?
Sure. We have loads of them.
You do?
We have loads of them because we publish 3 or 4 books a year.
Wow. You guys are busy.
Yeah,
we are. So we did publish the 4th book in our Paranormal Grievance Committee Chronicles series called Perilous Things. Mm-hmm. We did publish My Favorite Wife, which is a new lesbian romantic comedy series. And we did publish Self-Publishing Lesbian Fiction, a how-to book to write and self-publish your dream book. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about My Favorite Wife, because that is the book that I'm seeing all around social media. So tell us about that.
Would you like to do that?
Well, it's the first book in our Going to the Chapel series.
Oh.
And the series, like each of them are standalone stories, but
yeah,
the common thing or entity in it is a wedding chapel that is lesbian owned, and it's called the Trail of Hearts wedding chapel set in Las Vegas. It's not a real place. We made it up.
Right. So.
But there are, you know, Elvis impersonators and other.
And Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman, Las Vegas-y things.
All right.
And also in each book, there's a couple.
Yeah,
lesbian couple looking for their happy ending.
Aww.
Yeah, and My Favorite Wife is specifically, it's a couple, they're engaged, and they go to Las Vegas, and they want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And when half of the couple runs into an old college friend, and whoops, she's already married to the old college friend. You know how these things happen. And she'd forgotten about it. And she has 48 hours to get a divorce or else she's not going to be able to marry the woman of her dreams. Mm-hmm. And hilarity ensues. And they do have to find like a naked judge in a hot tub.
Of course.
Because, that's how Las Vegas works. Yeah. And how divorce works. And, mm-hmm. And any lawyer reading this is going to be like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's not how it works. Yeah.
Wow. So this sounds like a fun romantic comedy, I'll say.
Yes.
It was fun. And it was fun to write. Yeah.
Oh, I'll bet. Mm-hmm. So tell me, speaking of writing, how is that done? Like, do you each write a chapter? Do you both collab on a chapter? Or?
It depends on the project. Things like, My Favorite Wife and our Paranormal Grievance Committee Chronicle series, either one of us does the first draft and then the other one comes in and does the second draft and then there's a third draft and stuff. So, and occasionally, I think this happened more early on when we started writing together. We might be working in the same document in Google Drive,
mm-hmm.
Google Docs, working the same document at the same time. So
you guys must really trust each other.
Well, yes. So we've been married for 15 years now.
Yes.
And we do talk to each other.
We talk to each other regularly.
That's how it works.
That's a good thing. I'm so glad to hear that. But I guess I'm thinking of if you write, let's say, Victoria, if you write the first draft and Karen, you come in and you're doing the second draft and you cut out some of the pieces that Victoria just absolutely loves, how do you handle that?
Well, okay. Karen did cut out the unicycle scene from My Favorite Wife.
No, she didn't.
You did put it in a later book, you know.
So you're saving it, book. Saving it for later,
You can put it in another book.
Okay, fine.
You know, the plot of My Favorite Wife did not hinge on the unicycle scene.
Yeah, it was kind of extraneous. I mean, look, these things happen. We do disagree at times. We sometimes agree. We sometimes just like let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really holding a grudge about the unicycle scene.
Of course not.
I'd forgotten about the unicycle scene, to be honest.
Well, fine, you'd forgotten about it.
Aha.
And I do not hold a grudge.
Now we're getting somewhere.
But I mean, you know, we also each bring strengths to our writing. I mean, Karen
different
is
strengths.
Different strengths. I mean, Karen is amazing at writing dialogue. I am really good at describing fashion and the environment. I mean, to Karen, a shirt is just a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, to me, it makes a difference if it's Prada or it's Izod.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, it says something about character.
You have a good point there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you each bring your own strengths.
Yes.
And then your final product is really just a combination of all your strengths with your best foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And trying the challenge though is when we get to the final stages, final draft, is trying to edit, revise, et cetera, so it doesn't read like it was written by two different people.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I would imagine that's difficult. Yeah.
I think we do it pretty well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because our process, we generally go through three writing drafts.
Okay.
And then we read the book aloud to each other.
Wow.
Occasionally reenact some of the scenes, and which is always fun. And then it does go off to the editor. We do have a really lovely editor we work with. And we do have beta readers. And then it goes out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how is that? How does that feel when you're just about ready to cut it loose into the world? That's your baby.
I know that typo is in there.
Yeah. there's always a sort of nagging suspicion that, you know, do we really get all the typos? And
and we really do.
Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult, you know, because some words may fit in and you're just not picking up on it, you know. So you have you know, I was checking out your books, and you have this series. It's called The Lesbian Light Reads book series. And it looks like there are like a number of stories to this.
Right. Yeah. 13.
Wow.
And we're going to come out with a 14th, which will be the final one in the series.
Really? What, why are you ending it?
Done what we wanted to do with the series, I guess.
Okay, so look, we all love lesbian fiction. There's quite a bit of lesbian fiction that can be quite heavy, and there's a lot of angsty stuff, which I'm not interested in. So we deliberately wrote lesbian light reads because it's exactly what it says. It is light, it is fun, it is fluffy. It gives you, we all deserve a break, and we are all entitled to joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the series has kind of run its course.
Unless we think of another idea for,
yeah,
that would fit into the series.
When did you start the series? That particular one?
Like 2015.
2015.
Yeah. The interesting thing, okay, Lesbian Light Reads, it started out, our first story was in the Lesbian Light Reads series, 7,000 words. So really a short story.
Mm-hmm.
And like the final volume in the series is going to be 20,000 words. Like the books just keep getting longer.
Yeah. How about that? So does each book have like a theme or... does it pick up on the, like, where the other one left off? Are the same folks throughout the book?
There's only two stories.
Yeah, Lesbian with Dogs Seek Same.
Yeah.
There was a secondary character our editor really liked, this 65-year-old nurse, retired nurse in Lesbian with Dogs Seek Same,
mm-hmm.
and was like, this woman deserves her own love story.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed, so we did Right Time for Love, which was a story about two 65-year-old women who meet on a cruise ship and have... Am I allowed to say the word sex?
You're allowed to say anything you want to say.
Excellent. So the book is sexually explicit. It deals with the very real problem of vaginal dryness. And actually a very hot story, and it's a reunion story. And... it's the reality of
second chance. Was it all the tropes? Second chance, love, and reunion, and
on a cruise ship, on vacation.
Nice.
So
I was just gonna say that is not something that you, at least that I come across every day, in terms of lesbian subjects. Like, you don't see a lot of older lesbian love stories.
Yes,
that's true.
And older women deserve love too.
Yes, they do. They deserve happy endings.
What is the third? You said the 13th book is out now in that series.
Oh, well, we have 1 through 13. They're already out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Victoria's working on the 14th. I kind of did.
Well, you
started
part
of the first draft, and now you're finishing the first draft.
Yes. So I'm going to finish the first draft of this book tomorrow.
You know that.
I know that.
She knows, yes. Because I started the first draft. It was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been this pandemic.
Yes.
and other things have gone on. And it's a Christmas story. So, it's February, so it's not going to come out now. but later it will be ready for this Christmas season. And it will be called A Christmas Train to Remember because it's set on a train.
Aw, mm-hmm. How cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So you also have a series. It's the Paranormal Grievances Committee Chronicles series.
Yes.
And that's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
and how many books are in this series? And tell us about it.
Four out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is, with all books, there's kind of a core fantasy to all books. And the core fantasy for the Paranormal Grievance Committee Chronicles is these two women who are paranormal investigators. They have a group of friends who, when they pick up the phone and say, "Hey, we got a ghost we got to hunt down," they show up. They're not too busy. They don't have plans.
Yeah.
they are there in like 10 minutes.
Nice.
They're like, we're into this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So when you say they're paranormal investigators, are they paranormal themselves or are they humans investigating paranormal situations?
They're humans investigating paranormal situations. Although one of the two women, who's one of the lead investigators, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, she does have the ability to communicate with ghosts or spirits. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very mm-hmm. cool. And what's the first book in that series called?
The Curse of the Old Woods.
The Curse.
Sort of, oh, Curse of the Old Woods.
Oh, cool. Yes. I like that title.
Yeah, it's kind of a, didn't you do it? It was kind of like a Nancy Drew-ish kind of title.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It sounds like that. That's great. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and in that series, the paranormal investigators, are you seeing them throughout the series, the same investigators? They, like, different scenarios come up in each book, and they call upon the gang and say, hey, we got to go.
And it's kind of, I mean, I this was a series that I came up with, I guess.
It was my idea.
And I was inspired by the TV series Supernatural, and also, you know, call back to Scooby-Doo, so which was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid.
All right. Do they have their own mystery machine?
They do have this old Range Rover that they drive around in. So.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. So, as you mentioned, you have published another book. That's called Self-Publishing Lesbian Fiction. So when did you actually, did you just publish that this year?
So that was published last November. Okay. So it's just been out for a few months.
Okay. And and what is that about?
Well, it's self-publishing lesbian fiction, write your own way. And the reason we wrote it, I mean, look, there's a million books about how to self-publish out there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be completely honest, self-publishing lesbian fiction is not that different from self-publishing any other book.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is tailored to people writing and self-publishing lesbian fiction. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like an off-the-rack suit versus a tailored suit.
Okay, I like that analogy.
And honestly, the reason we wrote it is... I see people get scammed all the time by predatory hybrid publishers and spending large amounts of money, and their babies get hurt, and their feelings get hurt, and their dreams get hurt. And that bothers me when that happens.
Yeah, I can imagine. I didn't know that that was so common, that, you know, people are scammed.
Because
self-publishing has grown so much over the past decade
that
companies selling self-publishing services have grown along with it. And there are plenty of companies that are good,
mm-hmm.
and there are plenty of companies that are not good.
Mm-hmm.
And people are spending a lot of money for things that are, quite frankly, usually free.
I was going to say, if it's self-publishing, what kind of company would you need to publish then?
Like, you don't.
All right, that makes sense to me. Yeah. So basically, they're selling services that you really don't even need, that aren't required.
I mean, it's basically, you know, self-publishing is just that. It's just, you know, we write a good book,
Of course,
and you know, we. After, you know, Victoria talked a little bit about our process, and, you know, after we get it back from our editor friend, or a friend who is an editor, and then Victoria formats it, depending on the book or the series, we either hire someone to do a cover for us, or Victoria does, you know, covers, and she's gotten very good at that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then we, you know, you just, we upload the book to, you know, like Amazon is one platform, you know, one distributor, essentially. That's what Amazon is, a distributor.
Yeah.
You know, and we do all that ourselves.
Okay.
You know, so you really don't have to hire other people to do that for you. But, you know, like Victoria said earlier too, you know, hiring an editor, you know, could be useful, you know, especially if you're not, if you don't feel like you have the skills to edit your own work, and you don't have someone, like we have this friend who's really good, you know, at editing. So you don't have someone like that in your life. So yeah, you, it's a good idea to hire an editor. But you know, and possibly even, you know, either buy a pre-made cover or figure out how to do your own cover. Or doesn't Amazon, like, sometimes do they offer?
Yeah, they do.
They're not very good covers that you can use in your book.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, it's important to be realistic about your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember, in modern self-publishing, the writer is in charge and people work for you. Yeah. And they're not doing you any favors.
Mm-hmm.
But writers can sometimes get in this space that they're just so grateful that anyone would just give them. So we do need to change that attitude. The writer is in charge,
mm-hmm.
and you are in charge of protecting your baby, I mean, your book.
Yeah.
And you can spend thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, in our case, like the editor we work with, she's a friend, and we really do a skill trade where she edits some of our books, we edit some of hers,
nice.
We publish some of her books, I make her some covers sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we trade skills.
Nice.
We don't exchange money.
Yeah.
Because also, and our rule is that no one works for us for free.
Mm-hmm.
People have to get something of value to them. It doesn't necessarily mean money, but they have to get something of value to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes that's money.
Mm-hmm.
And as for cover design, I mean, I learned cover design. I put a lot of effort into it. I learned formatting.
Yes.
And I also think that people should have a little more faith in their abilities or their ability to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because people can learn this.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, now you've got me on my soapbox. The thing with modern self-publishing, I mean, let's say you produce a book and the writing, it was your first book. The writing's kind of eh. The editing's kind of eh. The cover is eh. You can do a second edition that's even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you do have that ability.
Yeah.
You know, that you can take down, you know, the book that, you know, you feel like really was not your best work and,
mm-hmm.
you know, put up a new version of it with a new cover and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, one thing about this book, Self-Publishing Lesbian Fiction, is that the idea, I think, for a lot of people of self-publishing is daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you Google self-publishing and all kinds of things will come up. Oftentimes, these hybrid publishers, because they pay to be higher up in the search results.
Sure, yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm not gonna lie and say that, oh, it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to put the time in and the effort in to do it. I mean, it's, you know, self-publishing, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So,
okay,
yeah, you have to be willing to put in the time and effort to do it.
And how did you guys decide to go the self-publishing route versus go with a publishing house?
Well, I think for me, I decided that I wanted to do it because I'm not getting any younger. So, and I don't want to wait like, how, you know, 2, 3, whatever, how many years to do, you know, querying,
yep.
you know, sending off manuscripts to a publishing house or an agent. And then it would just take so long. Like I said, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So really it's a question of how do you want to spend your time?
Yeah.
Do you want to spend your time querying and sending all this stuff out and waiting for someone to get back to you? Or do you just want to write and publish?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our book, Self-Publishing Lesbian Fiction, we started writing that book in, was it May of last year? I think it was May.
Yeah.
And in November, it was published.
Yeah, that's unheard of. Like in the like for a publishing house. Like
yeah, traditional publishing.
Yeah, it takes, you know, like at least a year before you're looking at it coming out in print.
Yeah. And I do want to proudly say that this book has gotten multiple 5-star reviews.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And one of the things that makes us, I mean, just so proud is the number of reviews that say, this has convinced me I can do this.
Oh, that's nice. You're empowering people.
Yikes. That is exactly what I want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it sort of makes me, but for clout.
Oh.
You know, I mean, the last 5-star review said this book is so encouraging. And the reviewer said, oh, I've read all these other self-publishing books, but this one is so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So without giving away the kind of dirt in your book, what Well, give me a brief how-to on self-publishing.
So step one, mm-hmm. write a book.
Good start.
Here's the thing that a lot of people do miss a lot as well is that a lot of ebooks are self-published, and in ebooks, length doesn't matter. You can self-publish a 6,000 word short story. If mm-hmm. you don't feel up to writing a novel, write a 6,000 word short story, mm-hmm. which is pretty short, which still sells. I mean, we have 6,000 word short stories out there that sell.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So write a book, write a story. Mm-hmm. Either edit it yourself or have someone edit it. You should format the book. Although companies like Draft to Digital, which is an aggregator that sends out books to, you know, Apple, Kobo, all the platforms, mm-hmm. they'll format pretty much anything. Formatting is not complicated. Do not be scared off by the word formatting.
Yeah, and Draft to Digital it's not one of these scammy,
oh no,
hybrid it's you know, a self-publishing platform.
Okay.
And it doesn't charge you anything to publish and stuff.
So basically any book you sell through them, I think they take 10%, 15%. I mean, they take so little.
Yeah.
And they're a good deal, and they're good people.
Okay.
So you want a cover, which that can all the specifications are very easily available. You upload, you set a price, and then you hit a little button that says publish.
Yes.
And boom, you are a published author. Mm-hmm. And self-publishing counts publishing. You are a published author. You're going to get me into another pet peeve. I hate it when people say, oh, I'm an aspiring author, I'm an aspiring writer. It's like saying you're a little bit pregnant. You either write or you're not. You're either a writer or you're not. Writers write. If you write, you're a writer.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. So many mm-hmm. people say, oh, I'm an aspiring writer. Like all the work that they do does not count for Jack, right? Mm-hmm. When, you know, you may be talking to someone who writes every day. They just haven't put their work out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're a writer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I'm going to check out your self-publishing book. That's interesting. I'm
yay.
Digging that.
Self-publishing lesbian fiction by Elizabeth Andre.
Yeah.
All right. And where would our listeners go to purchase your books?
Amazon. Okay. One place. If you're not into Amazon.
Kobo, Smashwords, Apple, Nook.
Yeah, those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones.
Okay.
And
Google. We're on Google Play.
Google Play, yeah. Okay. And then the self-publishing fiction, a lesbian fiction book. That's
that you can get at bookstores.
You can get at bookstores.
Okay. Barnes and Noble or something.
Absolutely.
Great.
Wonderful. Yeah, and if they don't have it on the shelf, they can always order our books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so I'm sure a lot of your listeners love small bookstores and mm-hmm. independent bookstores, and we do too.
Mm-hmm.
You can always order our books through a small independent bookstore.
Yeah.
So everyone gets a little bit of a cut.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. People don't remember that, mm-hmm. but it's very true. Yeah. You can.
Yep.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. So, Is your background for both of you, Karen and Victoria, are your backgrounds in writing?
Yes, we were both journalists.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And do you still do that?
No. Journalism is not what it once was.
It's running on fumes.
I mean, we were both newspaper reporters, and at least the newspaper that I wrote for, I mean, no longer. Well, it sort of exists, but it's a shadow of itself, of its former self.
Most are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Man, I'm just trying to think. I mean, because the newspapers I wrote for, there are very few that are still around. Mm.
Yeah.
I miss journalism.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, actually.
What kind of stories did you guys cover?
I tended to do a lot of, I was a beat reporter, so my beat would be a geographical area, and I would cover, like, within a town, say the local government, schools, library, cops, everything except sports. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, do sports.
Okay.
You know, crime and stuff like that. So it was interesting. A lot of variety, you know, and yeah, I do miss it, but I miss what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know,
so, yeah. When I used to get the physical paper, that those were the first things I turned to were the obituaries and the crime report. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wrote about health and science and health policy.
Okay.
I've actually read the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, how many pages is that?
2,000.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so you guys are retired from newspaper journalism or just moved on?
Moved on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I worked as a paralegal for a few years and then,
yeah.
So then we started doing.
Yeah. So Karen is full-time Elizabeth Andre.
Yes.
And I'm part-time Elizabeth Andre.
And what's the other part-time then?
Medical writing.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're still doing that?
Yeah, so I'm still writing about health policy and medicine.
Just not for a newspaper.
Just not for a newspaper.
Okay. Do you write for like a government or for like insurance?
Nonprofit membership organization.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. That's so different, right? Technical writing.
It's not that different, but you know, people think it's that different. It's not that different.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Although the funniest thing to do. Okay. So tight deadlines make me high. You know, I'm a former newspaper reporter. Yeah. I'm like, give me a tight deadline. And I was actually in a meeting with the head of the department and we were working on some project. And I was like, okay, I'll get it to you 15 minutes after this meeting. And he was just like, oh, you can do it tomorrow. And I was like, aw.
How disappointing.
Aw. Okay, fine.
So did you wait or did you get it in 15
minutes? I just did it.
I kind of had a feeling that's your style. So do you have favorite writers of your own, favorite authors?
I mean, right now I'm reading Mallory Pearson's We Ate the Dark, which is actually sapphic occult horror. Wow. And actually the interesting thing about this book is it's not actually marketed as a sapphic book, and it's full of lesbians.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I got it because it was a freebie on Amazon Prime reading, and I kind of wanted to read some horror. And I'm like, this book is full of lesbians. And there was no indication of that in the blurb, the categorization, the cover.
None of the marketing.
None of the marketing.
You know, that's interesting. I was talking to an author last night, and she was telling me that her first book was not marketed as a sapphic genre book. It was basically, you know, presented to the public as, oh, this is just your average straight novel. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have like some, you know, books that I've enjoyed. I mean, I have some, I didn't write them down so I wouldn't forget. I mean, one book that I really liked within the past couple of years, actually it was published by, I think, Bold Strokes Books, called Z, as in Zombie Town.
Oh yeah, I read that.
I really enjoyed that.
Yep.
I really liked that. And also one called, I don't think it, this one was not published by Bold Strokes Books, called Upright Women Wanted by Sarah Gailey. And this one is set in the Old West and it's a bunch of women and they're librarians and they go around, I don't know, there's more to that. Uh-huh. I'm really not doing it justice, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also like, you know, almost anything by Terry Pratchett. Mm-hmm. And also like stuff by, like, it's very, I guess, kind of biographical, like biographical fiction, you know, fictionalized mm-hmm. stuff. Like Hilary Mantel did a series of books about the reign of Henry VIII. And it actually focused on Sir Thomas Cromwell.
Okay.
I think one of the books was called Bringing Up the Bodies, and can't remember the, you know, I've read, I think, two of the books in the series. I think there's three, so I still have to read the third one. But, I mean, I didn't think that I would like them, but she has a way of writing that really just draws you in, and it feels very immersive, you know, that you're in that period.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that when you find an author that just sucks you right in, and and you want to read more. And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And Victoria, do you have any other favorites?
Oh, sure. So I actually have a funny story about this one. So I actually just finished reading The Dyke and the Dibbuk by Ellen Galford.
Okay.
And this book won a bunch of awards in the early 90s. And it's really funny. You know, it's Jewish lesbians in London in the early 90s. And actually, the funny part is, you know, I was a film critic in London for the gay press in the 90s. And the main character in this book is a film critic for the gay press in London in the 90s.
How about that?
And lives at the top of Seven Sisters Road, which I'm just like, I lived at the top of Seven Sisters
Road. Oh, my word.
It's a little creepy. But
yeah.
But I don't know. I think I found this at a used bookshop like a year ago. And I think it's a crime that this book is out of print. But I actually made a couple TikTok videos about, hey, I'm reading The Dyke and the Dibbuk. And all of a sudden, like, you cannot get a used copy of The Dyke and the Dibbuk. They're going for like $700.
What?
And I'm like, yeah, it's the power of TikTok. Seriously, I made a couple TikTok videos and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, I should read that too. And I'm like, I mean, it is really good.
Yeah, people who do have copies of them, you know, jacked up the price.
Yeah, you should cash. If you have a copy of The Dyke and the Dibbuk, cash out now.
That is amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that? That reminds me, what was it? There was just a book. I saw a retailer was selling a book for like $700 or something on their website. And I was like, come on, I bet you, I mean, it's an old book. It's the one about being a preppy. Do you remember that
book? Oh, was it The Preppy Handbook?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I had that book.
Yes, right?
I had that book.
So
I had that book.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, so this one retailer is actually selling it, and it's not new, right?
No.
For an extreme amount of money. I found it on used bookstores, like some antiquarian bookstores, some just like at the thrift store, for like $12. So it's just incredible. So now I'm thinking, all right, I should buy up all these copies and sell them to this retailer.
Ooh, the plan.
I know, right? Right?
Yeah.
The schemes. So, yeah, it's amazing, like, how many of those older lesbian novels that you can find that I've totally forgotten about, like, you know, Barbara Wilson and, you know, all those crime novels that I rarely see around anymore.
I read Loving Her, which was actually the first Black lesbian novel. It was published in 1974.
Wow.
And that's actually, it's in print. You can get it as an ebook for like $1.99.
Really?
And what was really interesting about that book is the nature of consent has clearly changed over the years. Because if you read this book, there's this one scene where I'm like, oh, I don't think that was consensual. But everyone in the book is like, oh, it's okay because we're in love. And I'm like, I don't think you consented. And I don't think it's okay just because you're in love.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good book, and it is an important part of our history.
Yes. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. Thanks for that tip. Tell me, what is one thing that you know now, right? You're sure of it now, that you wish you would have known when you started out in this field?
Well, the importance of, you know, getting your email, you know, newsletter list, email mailing list, or whatever you want to call it, started.
Really?
Earlier.
That was very important to your business.
Yeah, we should have started it earlier.
Yeah, it has become important. But yeah, it's for one thing, you have with an email list, you have, you know, I guess an engaged audience who presumably will buy your books.
Mm-hmm. And control.
And you have control, you know, because, you know, places like Amazon, you know, they don't share data. They don't, you know, so you don't know, you know, you can on Amazon for, you know, for example, you can follow an author, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, right.
It's through the click of a button. But, you know, we don't know who follows Elizabeth Andre. We don't have any
They don't share that with you. You don't know how many followers you have?
Nope. Well, we do know how many followers we have. We have about 5,000 followers on Amazon.
Woo! That's awesome.
That is all we know.
That's all we know.
We cannot contact them. We cannot trigger a communication with them. Mm-hmm. We have no information about them. But we just know how many of them there are that we can, who we cannot contact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the other thing I would add to that is to not be afraid to engage with readers. Because I think for a long time, I was like, oh, well, you know, we're the lesser known lesbian author. And we're really not. You know, we've been at this now for 10 years.
Yeah.
We have a name out there.
Yeah, you do.
And to not be afraid to engage with readers, because mm-hmm. I actually have started a thing with our email newsletter, is I ask readers questions. Mm-hmm. And we don't get a lot of responses, and that's okay. But the responses we get are amazing. Mm-hmm. And to get that level of engagement, like, I think, in the middle of January, when January was horrific in the Midwest, it was so unbelievably cold. Oh, just so cold. And I just put in the newsletter, I'm where it's cold. Could you please send me photos of someplace warm?
Yeah.
And one of the newsletter subscribers lives in Jamaica. And she's like, oh, this is the beach by my house. I'm like, cool. I want to be at that beach.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I put the photo in the newsletter, and it just made her so happy.
Yeah.
And it made me happy because it really was a nice speech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's so nice. Cool. That is a great way to really engage your listeners or your readers and keep them engaged, you know, in between books. That's wonderful. That's great. Mm-hmm. So how would our listeners subscribe to your newsletter?
That is such a great question. That's the one thing I don't have.
we haven't thought of that.
So you can email Elizabeth Andre at Elizabeth, ELIZABETH, at, it's Elizabeth-Andre.com. So we do have an email address. And if you do email us Elizabeth at Elizabeth-Andre.com. What?
Is that right?
Elizabeth?
No, is that the right email?
Yeah, that's the right email. we are in the process of building a website. See, that's another thing we should have done. We do have a Substack called the Lesfic Self-Publisher. Okay. If you drop us an email, we'll add you to the email list. We do have links in our ebooks to subscribe to our email newsletter.
Okay.
And we do actually have, oh, here's the link to the email.
I'm gonna
read an email. You know, Karen's amazing. So the link to the email newsletter is eepsandpeter.com/BNNancy8Z. And that should take you to the mailing list sign-on page.
All right. Excellent. I'm going to, when I publish this, I'm going to put that in the, you know, verbiage so people have it. So
beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
We can also send it to you. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. That'd be great. That'd be great. So I don't mess that up and you won't hear from anybody. So, yeah. Wow. So, you guys are super busy. You have, just to reiterate, you have the Paranormal Grievances Committee Chronicle series, which is comprised of 4 books. You have the Lesbian Light Reads book series, which is currently 13 books. 14th is coming out sometime soon.
It will be here out before the end of the year.
Yes, it will be.
All right.
And we have the Going to the Chapel series, which we're working on book 3. We just finished the second draft of book 3, which is called Romancing the Butch. It's a butch femme romance.
Oh, okay. All right.
The romance between, the couple that's getting married is Het, but the couple that the book focuses on is the maid of honor and the groom's best butch.
Nice. All right. Romancing the Butch. All right.
Yeah.
And that is with the Going to the Chapel series. And you also have the self-publishing lesbian fiction book.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
All right. So, listeners, you have a lot to choose from. this is great. And
it's not even getting into the time travel romance we have.
Oh, yeah, we do. So much. We have a time slip girl.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a standalone. The time slip girl, interracial time travel romance. Mm-hmm. You know, black woman slips into, 19th century Edwardian
early
England,
20th
early 20th century. Yeah. Edwardian England.
Yeah.
And falls in love.
One reviewer told us that we were doing time travel wrong. It's like, time travel doesn't actually exist, so we can do whatever we want.
I don't understand how you can do it wrong.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So time travel is just, in this book, it's like a weather phenomenon. It just happens.
Okay.
You have to read the book to figure out.
Okay. And you can make time travel happen any way you choose.
Yeah.
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. So, Victoria and Karen, otherwise known as Elizabeth Andre, do you have any parting words for our listeners today?
Your dreams are valid. Don't let anyone take your dream away from you.
Nice.
Write the book.
Yeah.
Write the book. All right. Excellent words of wisdom. Your dreams are valid, and write the book. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today. And I must say it has been a pleasure talking with you both. This is, again, Victoria and Karen, who make up the author, Elizabeth Andre. So check out all of their works, listeners. And I'm Anita Kelly. And thanks for joining Liz Talk About Books, baby. And until next time, may your journey be lighthearted. Peace be plenty, and be safe, folks.